This morning, I titled the lesson, Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be turning a little bit, so have quick fingers, if you would, please, and I'll wait for you to get to places. But I want to begin. Last week, we talked about, out of Colossians 3, 1 through 10, are we connected to God? And it would be worth your while if you didn't get to hear. It'd be worth your while to go back and listen to that again to find out if you're connected to God. This lesson is really an extension of last week's lesson. And we'll see that as we go through. We found out last week in Colossians 3, he starts off in verse 1 there that if we've been raised up with Christ, if, not everybody has, but if we've been raised up with Christ, well, how are people raised up with Christ? In Colossians 2:12, he told us, having been buried with him, Jesus, in baptism, in which you were raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. See, when you're baptized into Christ, God is starting his work in you. And he raises you up with Jesus so his work can begin in you. So Paul reminded him there in Colossians 3:1, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated because you've been raised with him. Then he says, setting your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. So that's what a person in Christ should be doing. Well, for us to continue that today here in Romans chapter 13, look at verse 13. He says, let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. There in verse 13, let us, if we've been raised with Christ, let us behave properly, not improperly. You can be improper. Let us be doing things properly. What is improper for those who are in Jesus? Verse 13, let us behave properly as in the day. In the day. What does daylight do? You can see everything going on. You can see people. You can see cars. You can see people at stores. Everything is evident. Light exposes everything. See, a lot of people do evil, you know, when they do it at night, when things can be covered. Well, let us behave properly as in the day. Be exposed. Don't be ashamed and be honest about things. Here you are. Here I am. We ought to not be afraid that because we are doing things according to Christ. There's nothing to hide. There's nothing to say what goes on behind closed doors because you're in the day. He says, let us behave properly as in the day. Notice what he begins. He's going to make several statements and he's going to pair words together. And in Scripture, these words are always paired together. And you'll see that this morning. Look at here. Not in carousing and drunkenness. That little conjunction and puts carousing and drunkenness together. What is carousing? That's not a word we use in our English very often. Carousing. It's the idea of people gathering for a party, loud music, dancing, and drinking. And it can lead into riots. That's a carousal. That's carousing. You know, recently we had, and I personally don't care about it, but Recently, we had a new team take the national championship, world championship in basketball, New York Knicks. I don't know if any of you saw any news clips. I did. And you know, right after they won, you know what happened? They were playing this loud music and people took to the streets. They were drinking. They had set a bus on fire. They set several police cars on fire. Just out of control. That's what carousing does. That's why when there's a party and there's all this music and this dancing and this drinking, that many times becomes the end result. Something gets broke, someone gets hurt, property damage. Let's act properly. Let's behave as in the light, not in carousing and drunkenness. Now, he's going to bring these two words up again, and we're going to look at it in a minute. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. And he talks about these words together, and he's going to let you know, if this is your practice and you've been raised up with Christ, you're not going to make it. Heaven is not yours, because these are not proper among those in Christ. Continue on, verse 13. Let us behave properly as in the day and not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. Sexual promiscuity and sensuality. Let me say it like this. Playing with sex. God put the limits of intimacy for people within the confines of marriage. And if you step outside of that confinement or you're not married, guess what? You better not be involved in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. Because when you get outside those realms, that's not proper behavior. It is proper in our society, and you'll see that in just a minute, why it's that away. So you and I need to act in ways that are not promiscuous, that are not sensual. And it even goes to the point of wearing clothes that entice other people to lust for you. You've got to be careful of the clothing you wear. He continues on. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, and not in strife and jealousy. Those words will go together too. Strife. Fighting. Some people just fight. Families fight. Why? A lot of times jealousy is the cause. And you shouldn't have strife among you. We're going to look at this a little closer in just a minute too. These are all part of improper behavior. And they should not even be among any of those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me give you an idea here of this. Because we've been raised up with Christ. Come back, if you would, to the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, Jesus is speaking with a man by the name of Nicodemus. And in speaking with Nicodemus, Jesus is planning teachings that his sacrifice would bring about in those who believe in God. And Nicodemus, he's a ruler of among the Jews, and he's also a teacher of Israel. Let's look at it. Look down at verse 5. We'll just start there. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You hear people talk all today. Everybody's going to heaven. People pass away, oh, they're going to heaven. We'll see them in heaven. If there's not a new birth, you're not even in the kingdom of God. There's not going to be heaven for you. And so here Jesus talks about, You have to be born of water and spirit. There has to be a new birth. Why is the new birth so important? Look at verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. God is spirit. Now, whatever is born of flesh, that's natural. We're all born naturally into earth's families. That's flesh. But if you're going to be part of God, you've got to be born into His family. And that takes a spiritual birth. That takes the birth both of water and spirit. He continues on. Look at verse 9. Look how Nicodemus reacts to all of this. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And sometimes we're the same way. How can these things be? Why is the Lord asking us to be proper? Why are we asked to put on the Lord Jesus? Why are we asked to be raised one with Christ? How can these things be? Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. It stays flesh, and it will die flesh unless there's a new birth. But whatever is born of spirit, the things of God, those are born again. Look at verse 10. Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things?" You would expect a teacher know more about things than those listening. If someone's teaching and they don't know any more than you do, that's not a teacher. We need people that know more about the things of God to help instruct us and move us along. And here's Nicodemus, and Jesus is wondering, how in the world can you be a teacher of Israel and you don't even understand what I'm talking about? It's coming through Jesus. And Nicodemus knew there was a Messiah coming, and he was standing right before him. Let's show you how this works, that this flesh is flesh, spirit is spirit. Come over to 1 Corinthians. This is right after the book of Romans. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's a good illustration of all of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul had come to the church at Corinth. He started the church there. The truth of the teachings was started at Corinth. And now we're about 6 years later, Paul writes this book. 6 years have gone by. And look what he reminds them of. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to infants in Christ." Paul reminds them, you know, when I came to you, I couldn't start teaching you right off the bat about spiritual things, because guess who you were? You were people of flesh. Whatever is born of flesh is flesh. So they're infants. A lot of times people are newly baptized into Christ. Guess what we can't expect out of them? You can't expect them to know how the Lord wants them to walk. They haven't had enough time. They haven't had enough food from heaven to teach them, to train them. Look at verse 2. Then what did Paul do for them? "I gave you milk to drink, not solid food for you were not yet able to receive it." See, Paul took them in mind, whatever's born of flesh is flesh. They need teaching. So guess what I give them? I give them food for infants. I give them the milk. Let them drink the milk for a while so they can start growing and become accustomed. And so I didn't give them the solid food. But look at verse 2 again. "I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. The end of verse 2. "Indeed, even now you're not yet able." 6 years down the road. And what have they done with their life in Christ? Nothing. He said, even now, you're not able to receive the spiritual teachings. You're still people of flesh. Look at the first part of verse 3. For you are still fleshly. What a sad commentary for people in Christ who've been into Christ for several years, and now you get down the road and they still don't know what's going on. They're still fleshly. And Paul tells them that. How do you know they're fleshly? Look at the rest of verse 3. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men? You're walking like the family of the world, just normal people. Their flesh, they have not been regenerated. You and I have been regenerated. And if there's strife and jealousy, see, they go together. Strife and jealousy, I mean, you're arguing, you're fighting with people. What's wrong with you? You're still fleshly. And you're walking just like people who are out in the world, unregenerated, don't care anything about God. You're just like them. There's no difference. And the sad part is that people in Christ sometimes are acting just like people of the lost world. That's sad. And so Paul reminds them of that, and he said, has a Christ made any difference at all? Now, knowing that they're still fleshly, come back to Romans 13. Romans 13, look at verse 13 and 14 together now. Let us behave properly as of the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. Don't you provide opportunity for your natural flesh, whatever you were born with. You ever hear people, and I hear it often, people will say, this is the way I was born. This is who I am. God doesn't need you that way. God has provided a way for you and I to be buried with Christ, to be raised up one with Christ, and to have help to overcome our fleshly tendencies, our fleshly desires. And so we need to put on Jesus Christ and make no provision for our fleshly desires. Your flesh wants to take you down. Sin worked through your flesh. Sin got you separated from God through your flesh. And if you and I aren't going to pay attention to that and those desires, it's going to crush you. It's going to cost you eternally. Because you can't practice these things and end up with God in the end. I'll show you why. What about our flesh? Let's come over a little again. Let's come over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Your flesh and my flesh, whatever is born of flesh, wants to control us, because it's what's controlled us however many years before you came into Christ. And now many times people come into Christ, they're not seeking the things above. They're not setting their mind on things above. Therefore, they make very little progress, and it's costing them dearly. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Look down at verse 7. Paul writes, do not be deceived. Don't you deceive yourself thinking that you're better than you are. Don't you deceive yourself. Well, I believe in God. Yeah, but are you born again in God? Are you putting on the Lord Jesus? Or are you just following your desires? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You can't take the teachings of God and ignore them. That is scorning God. You turn up your nose and you scorn. I don't want that. God's not going to be mocked. And here's God's answer over mankind. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. God says, I govern. And here's my governing over mankind. You will reap what you sow. What does it mean to sow? Well, if you're sowing to carousing and drunkenness, you're going to reap that corruption back into your life. If you're sowing to sensuality and promiscuity, you're going to reap that back into your life. Strife and jealousy, you're going to reap that back in your life. You will reap whatever you give out to other people. Verse 8, for the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. You're going to keep giving in to your flesh. You're sowing to it. And you know what you're going to reap from it? Corruption. Paul reminded the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, put off your old self. That's whatever is born of flesh. Put off your old self since it is being corrupted. Being, it's in the state of corruption, your old self. You can't do things naturally anymore. And you know why? Because if you sow to that, corruption is going to be what's reaped in your heart, in your mind, and the life you live. And you got to realize what's going on here. God says, I govern this. You don't sow to Jesus Christ. You don't sow things to the Spirit. You're going to become corrupted. And that's why sometimes you see people in Christ, they do things that are so off from God. And people wonder, why do they do that? They spend a lot of times in corruption. It doesn't happen just like this. It comes on slowly because the more they sow to it, they give in to their flesh and their desires, and it comes back and it shows effect in their lives. We need to learn how all this works. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ so we make sure we don't give the flesh any provision for opportunity to take advantage and corrupt us. Now, he continues on with this, and we're not going to explain it all. I just want to show you a few things here. Come back to chapter 5 here of Galatians. Look at verse 19, and look how he explains this. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident. How do you know when you're sowing to your flesh? See if any of these things are you're involved in your life, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality. See immorality and sensuality paired together? Idolatry, sorceries, enmities. You ever have someone that you consider an enemy? That's what an enmity is. Enemies we separate ourselves from. These are deeds of the flesh. Strife, jealousy. See, they're paired together. Strife, fightings. Why do people argue and fight? Because it's coming from their natural state of flesh. And he said, it's obvious of what they're sowing to. He said, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. What's wrong with a little outburst of anger? That's your flesh. That's your flesh at its height. And something doesn't suit us, and we just explode. Oh, flesh is taking advantage of you, and you're sowing to it right about then. He says, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes. You want to argue with people. People like to argue. I don't care what it may be. Maybe politics, maybe something else. Disputes. They want to cause disputes. That's not part of God. Dissensions, where you divide people from each other. And he says, factions. Factions are where people get together and, you know, you and I think alike. So we'll start talking to them and we get these little groups and we divide ourselves off from the rest of people. That's a faction. Things of God don't do that. God unites and He brings things together. He goes on to say here in verse 21, envying, drunkenness, carousing, there's the pair again. Things like these. This isn't the whole list. But anything like we just read, there's other things that can go on. Things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If these things are practiced in your life, I said at the beginning, you're not going to make it. They're not going to inherit. You can't keep practicing this stuff. This stuff's got to be put away from you. You've got to get away from it because it's going to corrupt you and it's going to kill you. I remember a few years ago, had an individual baptized into Christ, and their mate told them all along, this is another individual in Christ, told them, do you know the only thing you're missing in your life? You're a great person. You're a good person. All you need to do is be baptized. That told me something about the other person's understanding. They don't see any reason to be regenerated. They can just stay flesh is flesh. All you need to do is be baptized and you're okay. No, there has to be some changes. There has to be some putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and stay away from these things that will corrupt you and keep you from God. What happens if you put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to make no provision for the flesh? What will happen to you? Let's read it, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Are those better? Why do some people have a hard time acting lovingly when they've been mistreated? Why are some people not gentle whenever things don't go their way? This is the fruit, this is the product of having put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And these things start growing in your life rather than your flesh growing and getting stronger. Love, joy. People say, I have no joy. I'm miserable. What's that telling you? There's a red flag. Something I'm not doing because I'm not gaining. I'm not reaping the things of God. We need to reap the things of God. These things will take you further into Christ Jesus. Look at verse 24. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Do you belong to Christ? Are you connected to God? Guess what you did? You buried, you crucified, you killed that old person that's flesh. And you've been raised up with Christ. There needs to be some evidence that you are raised with Christ, that you and Christ are one. And you don't let your passions, you don't let your emotions, you don't let those things gain a foot. You just simply put on the Lord Jesus and you put your passions and your desires. See, the flesh works through desires. And that's what people try to get you to do. They try to stir your desires. And so this is how you do this. If you belong to Christ Jesus, put Him on and give no provision for the other. Let me end with this. There was a congregation I was involved with. There were two individuals. They were put in charge of a project. And one of the individuals is very self-centered. knew that going in, and I couldn't imagine, why'd you put this people together? And that in one individual, what they ended up doing, they took over the project and completely kicked this one individual out, and they went and gathered other people that thought like they thought, faction. This is a faction. And they brought them all together. Is there a good opportunity to create flesh in the other individual that got booted out? Oh, yeah. They couldn't have been happy about that. But you know what they didn't do? They acted in love. They acted in kindness. They acted in gentleness. They were faithful. And what ended up happening is that the one who took over later down the road, their life just completely fell apart. Wonder why? You and I need to be a people that put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be focused on doing that and stop the things that are killing us. These fleshly ways will destroy your life, both here on earth and eternally, because they're not any part of God. And we need to be moving away from, we need to be more committed to the Lord now than ever, because people that are unregenerated have no clue what they're doing. That's why Jesus on the cross could tell those people or speak to God for on behalf of the people, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They had no clue what they were doing. They thought they were doing the best thing in the name of God. And Jesus said, they have no understanding. And until they came to the gospel of Christ Jesus and were buried with Him, to have a new self, to have a new power at work in their life, they're not going to make it. Or are we going to be like the church at Corinth? Years down the road, we look back and I'm still in the same place, fighting the same battles with the same attitudes. Paul says, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? It's killing you. You've made no more progress in that. I don't know if you ever talked to another brother or sister, and they've been a brother or sister for years, and now you're at a point, and you can't believe some of the things they say, some of the reactions they have, how they've moved very little. There's only one reason. They've not put on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no connection with God. You and I need to be connected. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we get stirred up to want to, you know, respond in anger, or we want to make a little faction and find a little group that think like I think and start dividing the church, that's a red flag. Be careful of people who do that. We need to be committed to the Lord. And I pray this morning that you are committed. And I pray you'll take these things. These are serious. These will determine whether or not you end up in heaven or you won't. Follow it. Go back and read it and see if it's not true.